Hello, hello. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. It is Tuesday evening, and I'm always going to say this. I don't care how people feel about it. It's Tuesday evening. It's my favorite day of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you. I get to have conversations. I get to talk about things that are interesting. I get to have amazing people on my show. Wasn't that like an awesome show last week? If you guys missed it, you should do the rewind. Is it the rerun? I call it the rewind, whatever, the rerun, right? You should listen to it. It was really a great show. But tonight we're going to have an equally great show. In actuality, I'd like to supersede that show and have this one be the best show of ever. So tonight we have Robert Trott on the line. And I just want to share with you a little bit first about my weekend, right? So this weekend I got together with friends. We went and looked at puppies. They were giving away puppies on Union Square, which was really kind of cool, even though I'm not like an animal person. But it was really cool to look at the animals. Then I got kind of overexcited and wanted to go look at rabbits because I love rabbits. Then I met a lady who has a humongous rabbit where she actually, what is that fur that they give off? They have some kind of fur and they use it to make sweaters and stuff. And so she makes sweaters from this rabbit that she has. I swear to God, it was a massive rabbit. And it was like this big. And what she does is she gets at least 6 outfits from that rabbit per year. What is it? It's that fluffy fabric that's made from wool. And so I met with her, looked at glasses and that kind of stuff. Then I went to the Brooklyn Museum with my little friend, Sophia. And that was ridiculous. That place was chock-a-block. You could not walk. You know, it was so crowded. We didn't even get to see the exhibits because we couldn't get through. It took us like 30 minutes just to get from one side of the museum to the other side of the museum. And then we had to stop in the middle, right? So that was kind of defeating. But in any case, I had a really good weekend. And I'm excited to have my dear, dear, dear friend, Robert Trott. Get off of me. I met Robert in the local coffee shop. I'm getting crackling in my ear. I met him in that local coffee shop and we just became coffee shop buddies. How long ago was that? Too long.
Yeah, 8 years
really
ago?
That long?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Anybody know? I
don't know. No. Anyway, so I want to introduce you to Robert Trott, whose business is younger than last year. And I put on my Instagram that he's 90 years old. He's not 90 years old. Angela, I'm sorry. He's not 90 years old. But she did say you look good for your age.
Whatever that is.
So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And so tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. I'm Robert Trock, owner of Younger Than Last Year. It's built on 7 foundations.
Right.
And
we don't want to hear that yet. I want to know about a little bit at you. How did you get to this place?
How did I get here?
Yeah.
Subway.
Shut up.
How did I get here? It probably started, I've been in and out of fitness and exercise all my life. Both my parents, my mother was a national class figure skater.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. She was like, I think her best year, like ranked 5th in the country or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Little girl from Texas.
Okay.
Came up to Chicago.
Okay.
And my dad in college, I mean, he wasn't in college much for the education, but he was a bodybuilder.
Somebody else on that. Yeah.
I didn't finish college. he did better than me. So he was a bodybuilder in college. Uh-huh. And he was won Mr. Arizona 1 year. So there's these pictures. This was back mid-50s, I guess it was.
Okay.
So there's pictures of him from back then. I mean, that's the day before wide use of steroids and all the stuff now. So that's when bodies were real. So there's some good pictures of him.
Okay.
So through the years, he had me lift weights and things. My mother had me skate. But I wasn't really that much into sports. I was always a late bloomer. right about the time I graduated from high school, I learned I could play drums. So for many years, to make a long story short, we came to New York, my buddy and I, and it was 7 or 8 years of drinking, boozing, and everything else. It was pretty bad. I'm lucky I'm still here. And when everything kind of went south, everyone kind of broke ranks and had to leave, go to their corners. It just got too much. I used to watch the New York City Marathon. So that I want to try that because I was in track. So this would have been 1986, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I started running. I actually made a bet with my dad. It was a one-sided bet because I didn't have any money. So I said, well, I could break 3 hours in the New York City Marathon. And I only had, I think it was five and a half months to get ready for it. Mm-hmm. How much are you wager? I mean, how much are you paying me? He said, I will pay you $2,500 if you can break, because he ran marathons, so he knew how hard it was. If you could break 3 hours. So train and train and train.
You were like $2,500, because I know you didn't go, I'm going to go train and train. You were like $2,500?
I wasn't doing it for the money. Really. But it was a nice little thing to think of. I got injured a couple times because I tried to do too much too fast, but I know I didn't have a lot of time. So the day came, I missed breaking 3 hours. It was like by like a minute.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And, you know, bet's a bet. Deal's right. A deal. So no money.
And your word is your word.
Yeah. So,
but did you think about, like, he would never know?
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that crossed my mind for a second. I thought, yeah, but I would know. No.
That's right. Yeah. You would know.
So that got me started back and running again. Uh-huh. And so I did a lot of that. I got injured a bunch of times, like a lot of distance runners do, putting in 60, 70, 80 miles a week. That's when I discovered Ashtanga yoga. This mm-hmm. would have been about 1992. So I talked, there was a Beryl Bender taught then. She was kind of the one behind Power Yoga, mm-hmm. the book, and kind of the big boom of yoga, actually. So her and her husband.
Beryl Bender.
Beryl Bender Birch.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, cool.
She lives in Berkshires.
Oh, now. Cool.
So she still has a school. She still teaches, puts her candles out, whatever mm-hmm. she does now. I haven't talked to her much lately. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Tom, was a world-class runner, though. Not at that time. He had seen his days were kind of done.
Right.
He was teaching with her. So I talked with Tom, and he said, yeah, my Achilles was ruptured. This helped me. This got me back. I had seen everybody, chiropractors, physical therapists, everybody. So I threw myself, just like I always do, into yoga. Beryl said the first day, anybody that, she had some audio tapes, remember the old cassette tapes. Anybody that buys this tape and takes it home usually learns it faster. So I said, okay, give me one of those. So I was doing that little intro thing like five times a day. And before you know it, within, I don't know, a few months, the injury cleared up. And I just really got into the whole practice. And in a couple of years, I was teaching for them. Mm-hmm. They would call me their number one student. I'm not bragging, but I was. So I taught for them. That kind of blew up finally. Mm-hmm. I went off on my own. Mm-hmm. Then I tore a cartilage in my knee. I realized that yoga was a good thing to be doing. I still do it now. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot to learn. So I went out, learned more about fitness and training. That would have been about 20 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then I started, along the way, I'd been teaching private yoga lessons to people. I started doing personal training, became a running coach. And it's just been ever since then. Mm-hmm. But since I'm 57 now. I'll be 58 in March.
Well, so you were 97.
Thanks a lot for talking about that 90, by the way. That 3 years into making that marketing plan was. I was going to reveal the secret and you blew it. Thanks a lot. So as I got older and the more time I spent with clients and just seeing the fitness industry and the health and the state of people in general, I just saw a lot of problems, especially with people 40, 50, 60 when it comes to exercise. So I started Younger Than Last Year.
Mm-hmm. Mainly, how did you come up with the name Younger Than Last Year?
It just kind of, I don't remember, just popped in my head. Mm-hmm. And then right after I did it, I looked it up. I remember that, say, I wonder if anyone else is using this. Nobody was, but right. there's a series of books, Younger Next Year, I think they are. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I thought of this without looking at his, so I figured it's fair game. So we kept the name, and I had a lot of starts and stops through the years. Now I have a partner, Joannes Prosper of Prosper Digital Productions.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah, if you're watching or listening. And he does the a lot of the social media and video and marketing. So the two of us together, plus a team we're putting together, are slowly building this thing.
Right.
I have a small gym in my garage.
You have a gym. It's not a small gym. It's a gym.
Oh, all right. Well, compared to...
Well, we're not going to compare.
Well, I'm comparing them. Because when I say gym, people might think that. So I'm going to tell you. We can fit about 7 or 8 people. And I run classes. And the age range I have in there is... There's a few 30-somethings, but it's mostly 40 years old and up. Mm-hmm. And I started it because I saw a lot of problems with people adapting to growing older.
Right.
What might have worked in their 20s isn't going to necessarily work when you're in your 50s anymore. You got to make a change.
Right.
And same thing in your nutrition. Same thing in your mindset. And I just realized that it wasn't just about fitness and doing exercises. It's fuel. Exercise,
right.
Mobility in your joints, mindset, right. Breathing. There's 7 foundations I haven't built on. So
right. We're going to go into each one of those. But I want to talk about, you had, I've known Robert for 7 or plus years.
Like
I met.
That.
It's kind of like ridiculous. That. But we met in the coffee shop. I don't even know. I think I just started talking to him and, you know, he started taking the...
She stops and talks to everybody, though.
I get some of my best guests from my coffee shop. I love that coffee shop, though.
It's true.
You know, it's a really cool place, right? You meet, it's a community coffee shop. You meet a lot of people in there who are up to some big things in their lives. And I love talking to people. And so Robert and I don't even know how I started talking to you, but what I do know is that Robert usually takes the mickey out of my voice and he speaks to me like, hey, hello, Noreen.
Hello, love.
Yeah. And so I was creating this mastermind, and we had been talking a couple of weeks before, and he said, you know, you wouldn't mind doing something of that sort. And so when I created the mastermind, I knew that he was one of the individuals that I wanted to participate in the mastermind.
That's
and
true.
I just asked him, he was, yeah. And we met every single was it Wednesday? It's like Wednesday, right?
Tuesday.
Tuesdays, and it went to Wednesdays.
I think.
For how many years? I mean, for like...
Four years or something?
4 or 5 years,
yeah.
Right? So it started out with a few of us, and it ended up with 3 of us. But the fact is, the mastermind really worked, and we all got what we wanted from it. So we'll be back in a few seconds. We're going to take a break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're speaking to Robert Trock, younger than last year. So Robert was just sharing with us how he got into, he did a triathlon. He lost the bet by 1 minute, 2,500.
Marathon, not a triathlon.
Marathon, sorry. I got triathlon in the brain since last week. Marathon, and he lost the bet by 1 minute, and his word and his honor would not allow him to lie. So he's a good man, and he is a good man. And then he talked about teaching Ashtanga yoga with, what was the name again?
Beryl Bender,
one of the founders of Power Yoga. And so he's telling us a little bit more about his life, and he's going to go in to tell us all about his new studio, which he has created, where he teaches younger than last year. So at the break, before the break, I wanted to you to tell me about, you know, when we were doing the, we were going to the BNIs, and I wanted you to share, you had to do your 1 minute commercial.
Right.
I wanted you to tell me a little bit about that again, because it was a really good commercial. Cream puff, are you feeling?
Oh, I don't remember.
You don't remember it? Oh my God, it was so awesome.
Something about haven't seen your privates in a few years.
if you're like, so basically, Robert's clientele are people in their 40s plus, right? You know, that's the kind of people that he likes to work with. They're in their 40s plus, they're overweight, they feel like cream puffs, they can't walk up the stairs, they haven't seen their penises or vagina in a good many years because
they're not all that bad.
there's so much fat in the way. What else was there? They're out of breath.
Huffing and puffing. Up one flight of stairs, something like that.
But it was like, that was his clientele. They're just in really bad shape. So those are the people that you're currently working with, right?
Well, no, most of them are in, a couple come in pretty messed up. Not as nightmarish as the one she just described. I don't know if they could even.
But so given that, like, you know, in my interpretation, is there's so many different ways to train out there nowadays. I mean, like, back in the day, it was just like you did some running, you did some calisthenics, you know, when you see those old shows with people doing stuff like that, jumping jacks and stuff. Today, there is so many different, if you walk down the street, like, I know there's in a 3-block radius from our house, there's like at least 2 yoga studios. And then there's, on the other side of the street, there are 2 karate studios, right? Which is like, one's on Hall and Washington, and the other one's between Clinton and Vanderbilt, right? And then we go down a couple of blocks more, we have the other yoga studio. And then we come up again, we have another yoga studio.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunities for training these days. But do you think that we're getting fitter, or we're worse off for it?
That's a good question. If you look at statistics and you just look around you, maybe a little fitter. I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. You brought up a point of there being so much. Mm-hmm. Let's take diets, for example. If you walk into Barnes & Noble tonight and just look at the section, the diet section, mm-hmm. how many books are in that section?
Oh, I can't
Hundreds
even,
of them. I can't even. And they just keep coming with new ones, because most people's mindsets are, I wait for the next, when this next diet comes, that's when it's going to happen, or when this next thing, or this next fitness program. And of course, that never happens.
Right.
So, I don't, a lot of it's marketing. That's one thing. Market the next big thing, and the next, and the next, and the next. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the Super Bowl the other night. This brings up something for me. Watching those commercials. And
I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I wasn't boycotting, but
I watched the game, but I noticed the commercials. I don't watch it for the commercials. I'm a big football fan, but I watched those commercials. And probably, I'm guessing 80 to 90% of those commercials were pushing stuff that were total crap on
like
people.
Like what, for instance?
Just junk food, mm-hmm. or just things that make you more stupid or whatever.
Stupid pill.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know how a magician works? This mm-hmm. is how it works. Magicians, the way they teach, the things they want you to see, they'll keep up right in front of you. The things they don't want you to see, they put it underneath your sight line. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like how all these big companies do this. It's like a magic trick. They no one ever mentions all the crap and the stuff that this does to you. You just see the shiny things that they want you to see. But underneath it all, people are, instead of getting upset about all this stuff that's just making us worse and worse that they're pushing on us, and people are buying. They don't have a problem with it. They worry about things that they can't control or some other little problem there, because the magic trick's working for this other stuff. So some of that mindset goes into this fitness thing, too. There's just so many different things. So confusing. I mean, would you have any idea? There's so many choices. What would you do?
I don't know, but I don't know what I would choose. But what I do know is that, like, ever since I can remember, there's been all kinds of diets. So it's like grapefruit diet. Yeah. It's one of the ones that I remember from a really long time ago when I was a youngster. And then there's like things with drinking vinegar.
Yeah.
Or there's, I can't even imagine, I can't even potato and just eating one thing consistently. Or, you know, it was never really about an exercise. Or it was, what's that diet where you use the maple syrup and the, I kind of
remember that.
The master cleanse and all these various different things. And what I discovered for myself 2 years ago now, when I looked at my Facebook sheet, when Facebook like gives me the replay of what I did 2 years ago, what I found was that when I exercised minimum of three times a week, maximum four, when I like, and that would be like an hour a pop, when I ate breakfast, lunch, dinner, and drunk a certain amount of water for my, you know, body weight, I lost weight, and I lost a pound to 2 pounds a week. Now, as soon as I stopped doing that, stopped exercising, stopped eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and just like we're grabbing crap, the weight started to come back on. It came back on slowly because I'm still pretty active, but I'm not as active as I was. I lost the weight. But what I found is that if I were to follow some diet written by some person, I don't know if I would keep it up and do it. But reading labels helped me look at the sugar counts and the carb counts. And doing the exercise and doing the food and doing the water, it really worked for me.
So in other words, that sounds like you used common sense,
basically.
And the problem is today, as the saying goes, common sense is not very common.
Right.
That's one of the problems we're running into. So are people getting in better shape and health here? I don't know. There's yo-yo dieting. There's jumping to fit different fitness programs. I believe in the 90% to 10%. Mm-hmm. 90% of the things you do are... Spending time on the important things should be your 90%.
Right.
The 10% can be the other thing. So it's not the 10% of things you eat that hurt you. It would be whatever you're eating for 90% of the time. Same with exercise or whatever else you're doing. So I would rather stay with something that's sustainable, like some of those diets. A lot of them aren't sustainable for a long time.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And a lot of fitness programs aren't as well. Something like CrossFit, which there's nothing wrong with it. It's not for everybody. And that kind of intensity is not sustainable. You can't keep doing that.
Well, and what that's a good thing to ask. So what is it that is not sustainable with CrossFit?
Part of it is just the intensity level. Mm-hmm. It's just always go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. There's no... medium days. There's no hard days. There's no adjustments for people as they get older. You need to switch. I wouldn't say switch. You still do strength training, but you have to pay more attention to the mobility in your joints more and more. It's why you see, I go to the park, I see those old Chinese people out there every day.
Every day, those ladies.
Working on their joints. It's joint mobility. And did they exercise like that when they were in their 20s? Probably not.
Right.
There's different energies. I saw that in yoga, too. The old teachers would say, give yoga programs to the 20-somethings were very vigorous, to the older people that were less vigorous.
Right.
So you can't sustain all that hard stuff on your joints. You look at like a CrossFit, they have something called a kipping pull-up, which you'd have to look it up, kipping pull-ups, which in a short dose is fine, but you keep doing that, your shoulders are going to pay the price. Mm-hmm. They are going to pay the price.
I've had the pleasure of going out there with those old ladies in Fort Greene Park who are doing Tai Chi.
They love it when you
do
that.
Or they're doing that little dancing. It's like ting, 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 ting. And let me tell you that ting, 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 ting.
I don't remember the ting, ting, ting.
Well, for me, that's how it feels, right? Like a ting, ting. Because it's like little baby steps from side to sides and forwards and backwards. And it's doing these little steps for me was like really intense. One, I don't dance like that. I'm dancing from the hip down and stuff. But what it is, it's holding that whole, your whole core together and doing those little steps back and forth. That was murder, right? It was, and they'd be, come on, come on, you can do this, you know? And I'm like, oh my God. So they invited me to come back. I went back a few times, but like, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. It's too much. And those ladies are like 80.
Those ladies are also much smaller than you, too.
They are way smaller than
me. That makes a difference. I mean, biomechanically, sometimes an exercise program should fit the person's biomechanics. I mentioned CrossFit. I often wonder if that attracts people who naturally have the inclination to be able to do that stuff.
Right.
But sometimes they try to force like a 10 pounds of bologna in a 2-pound bag. You try to get somebody in doing something like that. The biomechanically, maybe they're too big, too heavy, or levers in their arms and legs are wrong for certain exercises, and they get hurt.
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard anybody talk about the biomechanics of exercise. I've never heard anybody mention
That's because they dumb it down for people.
Oh.
That's how they sell. That's the only way they sell it. I mean, they can't mention biomechanics and things to people. They won't be able to sell the product. That's kind of why. But with younger than last year, part of what I wanted to be able to do is not instruct people in, like a physical therapist or coach, but just to educate them a little more so when they get out there, they can make their own decisions.
Right.
They know what to do, especially as they move on with their life or something.
And so a lot of people, we do exercise for weight loss. But do you think that's the good way to go? That's a good way to go for exercise to lose weight? Because, or should you use exercise to be fit and healthy and thus you'll lose weight?
I'm a big proponent of the old saying, form follows function.
Right.
So do the lifestyle correctly and the form, that's the function.
Right.
The form, the body is going to follow eventually. But it's nature. You can't. It's not going to happen in 30 days, like some promises make. If you want to change a habit, this 30-day thing, changing a habit in 30 days, we know is pretty much nonsense. It takes longer than that. It takes at least 3 months of constant repetition to even start to change a habit. When you're at that point, then you need another probably 18 months of consistency to change your body.
So when we come right back, Robert will tell us more about how to change our bodies. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hello, I'm back. This is Noreen Sumter, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're with Robert Trott in the studio, who is younger than last year. So I just want to shout out to all the people listening, Lori, Rose, Wayne, Claude, Lisa, Maria, Alicia, Ron, Joan, Tresha, and my boy Sanjeev and Red Cherry. Do you guys have any questions about health and diet? If so, call in at 877-480-4120. Do you hear me? 877? So corny. All right. So tell us about, was it form?
Form follows function.
Form follows function. Say that a little bit. Say that more in terms of exercise world.
Well, like I said, get your lifestyle in line.
Get it, Robert.
I got too much to say. Sorry. I can't get it all out. Get your lifestyle in line with what it is you want. Mm-hmm. And then through constant spaced everyday habits, that's where the form is going to change.
Right.
But most people think entirely in reverse. They want to change the form at all costs. And sometimes pretty damaging. Mm-hmm. There's some of these exercise programs out here like Insanity or PX 90.
Yeah.
Pretty tough. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, all exercise, all these programs, they work. I'll put it that way.
But we just got to work them.
But some of them might not be appropriate.
Right.
Some are way too advanced for people that you mentioned, some of those big out of shape people. That's not where they would. That's nonsense to start with something like that.
So I'm going to ask a question. So you know me, right? I'm pretty, even though I'm a little chubby around the waist, I'm pretty fit, right? You know, I could be fitter.
True.
But would you recommend PX90 for somebody like me?
Maybe down the line. You could if you want, but I wouldn't start you like that.
Right. Where would you start me?
With the basics.
Which would be?
Well,
tell the people what the basics are.
When it comes to exercise, like a lot of things, there are no rules. Rule number one is there are no rules. Rule number two is there's always exceptions to rule number one.
Right.
In fact, there's a lot of exceptions.
Okay.
So I would base an exercise program just to get you in shape to be able to work on maybe other exercises down the line if you wanted to do PX90. So basic movements for every human being that there's a lot of ways to do them. It's a push outwards, like a push-up. There's a push over your head. There's a pull, like a rowing motion. Mm-hmm. There's a pull from over your head, like a pull-up type motion. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you do pull-ups, but it's basic motion. There's a squat, which is a knee-dominant exercise for your legs. There's a hip hinge, which is a hip-dominant exercise, like you'd see in a traditional barbell deadlift.
Right.
And then there's extra supplementary, a couple things like your calves and feet and hands and stuff, and some things for your abs and back if you wanted to hit those. And then I'd add one more to this, especially as I'm seeing people 40, 50 and up. I have a lot of exercises where we do nothing but get down and up and down off the floor for 10 minutes. You'd be surprised how people start sweating. We have all kinds of ways to do it. So if I have anything to say about it, there's never going to be in any of those people's lives the dreaded lines of I've fallen and I can't get up. That's not going to happen.
I've fallen and I can't get up. It's not funny because I actually had a friend of mine who had fallen in her apartment and was there for like a couple of hours screaming her lungs out because she couldn't get up.
And unless there's a terrible degenerative disease of some kind or you're in a bad accident, there's absolutely no reason for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some people's, older people's hands and see what kind of shape they're in, and it gets me, so that's not going to be me.
So what is that? Like, so when you look at somebody's hands who are older and they get, is it because of lack of use or the lack of strength?
Probably both. I mean, look, it's never just one thing. You got to look at a lot of factors.
Right. So one of the things that I noticed when you were talking about pull up, push out, these motions are motions that we use in our everyday life, right?
Right.
So if we can't, and then I'm saying like when you pull up, you're actually using, you're lifting your back, you're strengthening your back, right? And then you did all the extremities, like the joints, the hip flexors, the knees, those areas. Then you did the core. There's a lot of conversation out there about core exercise. Got to build that core.
Well, I got a question for you. When they say core, when I say core, can you tell me what the core is?
My belly.
That's part of it.
The muscles underneath my fat.
Well, that must. Oh, I could say something.
No, Robert, we've got company.
So your core, a lot of people mistake it's just your abs.
Right.
But it's much, much more than that. Mm-hmm. It's the whole, if you think of your spine, from the bottom of your skull, that's your neck, all the way down to your tailbone mm-hmm. and that whole cylinder. Mm-hmm. That's your core. Mm-hmm. And all those muscles are connected. And forces are transmitted from upper and lower body. Like right. you put your arms over your mm-hmm. head just then. There's a lot of core in that.
Right.
Whether you're standing or sitting.
Right.
So it's your ab muscles, it's your back muscles, it's your hip muscles, it's the ones in your neck, it's the whole 9 yards, the ones in the front, side, and the back.
Right. So I've never heard it explained like that. When I think of core, I'm always thinking of my stomach, always thinking of like my love handles, my knobs. That's what I call them, my knobs. So who in
don't
this,
expect me to listen, call them that.
Who else is listening that has knobs? I mean, there are. You know what I have noticed? No, not those kinds of knobs. We have people in the peanut gallery pointing to breastises, right? Not those knobs.
I won't comment on that either.
So what I've noticed is that. You know, we're a body conscious society, right?
We always, for sure.
We all want to look beautiful and we all want to look good. And, you know, there was a time when knobs were not acceptable. But now I realize with most, a lot of people, it doesn't matter how thin you are, you still have that that thing around the what is it? You can pinch more than an inch.
The spare tire.
So can you tell me a little bit about that? How do we get, you know?
How do you get rid of that?
Yeah.
Well, exercise is probably not the way we're talking about. You want to talk about that. That's all pretty much diet and what you're eating, how you're eating. Mm-hmm. And I found it just like exercise, the way you eat as you grow older, that has to change as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, say more about that.
Well, I mean, like for a long time, when I was a runner and exercised a lot when I was younger, I could eat a lot and mm-hmm. I would never gain anything. So I just ate and ate and ate. But as I got older, no matter how much you exercise and how it changes, things change. Mm-hmm. In fact, you'll get to a point where whatever muscle you put on, you're going to get to an age where you ain't putting any more muscle on.
Right.
You got to do what you can to keep what you got.
Right.
Same thing seems to happen with a lot of people, at least it did with me, with putting fat on. I think it's a survival thing. Your body does like to put some fat on. In fact, some fat is good for you.
Right.
People, the rail thin fashion models, the heroin emaciated ones, they look extremely unhealthy to me. Right. So that's if they ever get sick, they're in big trouble. Their right, body's going to rob muscle, whatever it can. And
right.
So
you need fat.
You need some fat.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So, but most of that's diet, so it does have to change. And you, with me, it was just I was eating too much. I eat a lot less now, and it works. And I read, there's a great book, it's an old book, it's about 100 years old almost now, called Toxemia Explained. His name is a doctor named John Tilden. He talked about this. And one trick I learned from him is not mixing starches and protein at one meal. Oh. It'll be one or the other. I'll have vegetables. When I say starches, I mean grains and rice and that kind of thing with protein. Right. I'll have one or the other.
But that's the standard fare.
Rice not,
and
not with
meat
me.
And all that stuff. That's the standard fare.
That would be a sandwich.
Yeah.
Let's say. So I take the bread off the sandwich if I have one.
All right. So I've got a couple of questions here. Is it healthy to exercise 3 hours per day every day?
Is it healthy? Well, let's look at two things. Some people look at an athlete. I mean, the Olympics.
If you're not an athlete.
Okay, but they still use the athlete. Kind of as a
guide,
I guess, which is a mistake.
Right.
The Olympics are almost here.
Right.
Some of those people you're going to see, those are top athletes, and they're going to have trained God knows how many hours a day
right.
to get where they got. But are these athletes in the Olympics or we just saw the Super Bowl? They're in good shape, but are they healthy? Probably not healthy. Mm. I was a distance runner. I ran 10Ks, 5K marathoners. Everything I found with me and other runners, especially when you're doing it at higher levels,
right.
it ages you. I've known guys, remember I talked about Tom Birch, Beryl's mm-hmm. husband? He died of a heart attack, sudden severe heart attack at age, about my age.
Right.
He just dropped dead one morning.
Right.
I know a lot of runners where they have those kind of problems. So that kind of high level volume intensity is not particularly healthy. So don't confuse being in good shape for a sport with health. They're very different things.
Huh.
So when if you're saying exercising 3 hours a day, I would say, what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to be an athlete? You're training for a sport? Or do you want to lose weight at all costs? There's better ways to do it.
Right.
So it would depend on the exercise, too. If you're doing nothing but running, I'd say, good luck.
So that question was for my friend Ron, who has a friend who works out every single day for 3 or 4 hours, 7 days a week.
How old is this person?
Probably early 50s.
Yeah.
Also, I think a lot of people do it to relieve stress.
Well, that brings up another point. It's about stress. So stress, and younger than last year, at least the way I look at it, we live in a high-paced, stressful, sit-down, junk food kind of world.
Right.
So stress is way up there. So some people can eat great, exercise great, but if they're not handling stress well or they're in something they hate, they might as well not even bother. I'm getting to the point.
Right.
What that does to you, it just tears you apart. I mean, my dad had a stroke almost 3 years ago. He's bedridden now.
Right.
He was still lifting. Well, he's 84 this year. He was still lifting weights. He kept himself in shape, but he ran his own business, and there was a lot of stress all those years. And would it have happened anyway? I don't know. But I like to play the odds myself.
Right.
So, did I answer the question?
I think you answered the question.
Okay.
What's the point? Like, what are you training for?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, 3 hours per day with a job. You're not an athlete. What's your diet like, if you have a diet at all?
I would also find out rest and recovery in the foundations I have. It's the number 3-1. It's above food.
Right.
That's how important rest and recovery is, as far as I'm concerned.
So how
much is he sleeping?
Right.
For instance.
So a person that... I love sleeping. Oh, my God.
I love naps.
It's one of my favorite things to do. I wish I could just
do
it all day. Shut up, heifer. So how much exercise, so I'm going to ask this question, but I think I can answer it. How much exercise is the adequate amount of exercise? I know it's on an individual basis, but.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, I think, on an age basis.
Right.
As you get older, the workouts, you can still keep them intense, but you really do have to cut down on the time.
Right.
Mine now. The hard part of it's probably no more than 25 minutes usually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 25 minutes pretty much nonstop.
It's hard bursts.
When I say training, I mean strength training.
Right.
But the kind I do is very little rest, so my heart's going good. I'm working all the big muscles in my body, full range of motion, total body, so a lot of muscles at once. To me, that's the way to go. If you go too long, you go past half hour, 40 minutes, you start getting too much catabolic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So the breakdown gets too high. And the older you get, the quicker it comes. So rest and recovery and shorter workouts become more important as you get older.
Okay. So we're going to take a rest right now and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, And on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we have Robert Trott in the studio from Younger Than You Were Last Year. Hey! Okay. So
is it? We're on there?
Yeah, we're on here. So you can wave to the people. Hi, everyone. I just want to give a shout out to Barbara, Rebecca, Joan, Terry, Mara, Vanessa, Lori, Rose, Wynn, all you wonderful people that are listening to the show. I hope you're getting some good information from Robert here about your health and your well-being.
If you got any questions, let her know.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Building that muscle and expanding it as you get older. It's not that you can't build it. It's just that it takes a lot.
It gets harder and harder and harder.
To build it, yeah.
We were talking about that during the break.
So I went for I put myself back on the front street, which is I'm taking on some cardio exercise every single day, right? Like at least minimum four times a week. And what that looks like is walking from Clinton Hill to Williamsburg and back again. So tell me about cardio. Like for me, I need to break down some of this juice, you know, this sexy stuff, right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Shut up, Robert. Just shut up. This is how we talk to each other.
It's true. Yeah.
And so I'm going to be doing that like for an hour every, you know, four times a week, minimum three, four times a week. Mm. What else do I need to add in?
Well, you got to look at your, obviously, and I know
the
you
diet.
Do.
Yeah.
You got to wash your food.
Yeah. And bringing the food back into play.
You're eating too much. Maybe.
You know what? It's not the eating too much. It's the eating too little and then eating at inappropriate times.
Well, you got a special case.
Yeah, I do have a special case. I'm diabetic.
So she had diabetes. So
I got diabetes.
Yeah.
I got diabetes.
So for her, for Noreen, for you, that's a different case.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. So again, individual basis, right? You're going to have to watch closely, more closely, the intake, not only how much, but what it is.
Right.
And how far apart.
Right.
Timing the meals and stuff. Yeah.
Right. But it's really looking at, like, you know, when I start doing cleaning up my diabetes issue, which I did get it down and you helped me a lot with that. It's like looking at not eating processed foods.
I have to
eat real food. So that means real vegetables, real meat. Not, I can't eat processed meats. I can't eat processed vegetables. Nothing in a can. Nothing with sugar. Like, because most of everything has sugar in it. What was it I was looking at? There was something I was It was something in a can that I looked at, or something that was in a packet which shouldn't have sugar.
Yeah, they put sugar in a lot of that.
But there's
yeah.
absolute sugar in absolutely everything that is processed.
Yeah.
And so, so I'm back in that game of I did lose 13 pounds a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, a month ago. And I haven't weighed myself. But I don't think I put it back on again. But really, it's not weight loss. It's really strength, stamina, energy, being able to run up the subway stairs without going, being able to run half or a quarter of a block when I see the bus coming. There was a time when I could do that and it was like, ooh, I'm floating. But now I feel like a big sluggish beast.
You're sinking?
Again, yes,
I'm
sinking. The ship. The ship is not floating as smoothly as it should do. So,
well, cardio, that's I don't know when that term came along. I'm not sure what 100%.
What is it short for?
What, the cardiovascular, I would think.
Okay.
I'm not sure what did that exactly mean?
Do you think it probably came out of a cardiologist's office?
Could have. Actually, cardio, you know, that's a good question, tracing down who shortened that to cardio.
Yeah.
First of all, if they're referring to machines, I can't stand cardio machines. Nothing's more boring than being on one of those damn machines. I want to be outside. I do just regular, easy jogging sometimes with a lot of emphasis on how I'm breathing. Very unstressful. I'm not going out to break any records.
Right.
I might wear a heart rate monitor. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Do you? Actually, that would probably help.
No, I don't. I have my phone, actually. My phone actually does a really good job. It's in my pocket.
It reads your heart rate.
Yeah, it does a lot of stuff.
You put your finger on it?
Yeah, you could put your finger on it.
Yeah, so, those are fairly accurate.
Okay, we have a caller.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm looking down on the desk for you. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to John?
John. Hi, John.
Hello, John.
You have a question?
I do. A colleague of mine told me about this call, and I said, I'll come check it out. And I, my question is, you guys were talking earlier about like CrossFit, it's funny because like I was doing CrossFit, and like what was so some of the things that you guys were saying, I could relate to because I have a friend that hurt herself. I'm doing CrossFit, and I was doing it also. So she kind of convinced me to join her and kind of taking some classes at our local gym. It was, you know, going together, so we were having a good time. But you know, I couldn't sustain it, but I liked the. It was fun, you know. It was like the activity. It was kind of like it allowed me to get away from the stress of everyday work. And so, what I would ask is, like, what are some other things that I could do?
Well, I'm going to say you could join Robert's gym. That's a shameless plug for Robert. So, what are some other things that you could do?
Yeah, I mean, because I do like my CrossFit. Like, it's really fun. It's like I like the fact, like, well, there's like this other. I also like sometimes do kickboxing. Like, there's other local gym that has like the kickboxing, and it allows me to get some of the after a long week of working. Right, it allows me to get some of that stress and allows me to just have. Work out. No, I'm being fit, but I'm also having some level of exerting some energy, and I like that. And so I'm thinking, is there like some way where I could have that, but also do it?
John, I want you to know that we have 3 more minutes on the show, and if you want to take this offline, you could call Robert at
347-262-9547. Sounds like I would have a lot of questions for you anyway, John, so we could figure this out.
Right, because this is radio. It's not like we can't see you, so we can't say the condition of your, the condition of your body. So I think it would be great if you could take this offline with Robert and talk about it further, and he could ask you some questions, and he can answer any questions that you have. Would that be something that could work for you?
It could. Can I get your number again?
Yeah, sure. Three, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 347-262-9547. And call me you can call me tomorrow or Thursday, anytime. You know, if you don't get me, leave a message where I can call you back.
Okay. And I'm sorry I'm taking some time, but is there like with your gym, am I able to like work out and like kind of meet some of those things that I was saying about my fitness?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I often individualize, even though we have groups.
So on that note, we're gonna have to let you go, but we appreciate you calling in. Thank you so, so much for that. And get in contact with Robert. He'll straighten you out right out.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Awesome show. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Aw. He could have stayed on a little extra because he said it's an awesome show. Yeah. So We have two more minutes for the show. Robert, plug
went
your...
Went fast.
Plug your studio.
Okay. So if you live in Brooklyn, in the Clinton Hill, Fort Greene area...
Or you can travel.
Or you can travel. First of all, the website. The information's there. YoungerThanLastYear.net. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, but the website has the most information. If you're local, we have classes 3 mornings a week at 7 a.m. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10:30 a.m., Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and an evening class 7 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday. But that's all on the website. It's small classes.
Come on, mate. I didn't say write a book.
Small classes between 7 and 8 people. And workouts are tailored to beginners. We have beginners and advanced people in there, but you all work out together. There's a lot of camaraderie in there. It's actually a lot of fun.
Awesome. Great. So, people, I just want to thank you for being on the show. We had a really good listeners tonight. Also, thank you, John, for calling in. And that telephone number is not just for John. It is for everyone who's looking to be fit and to be younger than they were last year. So this is Noreen Sumter. Oh, I'm just in love with myself tonight. Signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. I see you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.